Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament, one chapter a day. We're trying to keep it about 10 minutes. We've been gone about 11 and a half. We're going to try to keep it down this time. Let's see what happens. So we're in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. It says, one day, Peter and John. Well, we could just call this chapter, one day in the life of Peter and John, one day in the life of the early church, one day in your life. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. So they're still keeping the Jewish customs. They're still keeping the Jewish rituals. They're going up to pray. They're what people would call completed Jews. They had the entirety of the Old Testament, and now they have the cross. They have Jesus Christ. And so they're still participating in praying every day, participating in the customs of the people at 3 p.m. So now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Now, I think this is brilliant. The man who is born lame, so his whole life he's been like this, his friends or his family or his colleagues, somebody's, bringing him to the temple area every day where he begs. Now, if you're going to beg, this is the perfect place to beg, right there as people are going into the temple. When they're going into the temple, they probably have this religious guilt. When they're coming out of the temple, they've been told to do some good. So there's the guy coming or going, begging, asking you for some change. So brilliant guy. Did it every day. It was what he did. He was incapable of working, which is his job, really. I mean, he's faithful at doing it. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money because he knew they were religious bigwigs. You know, maybe you can get something out of these guys. So Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave his attention. You know, he's got to do what he's got to do. The guy's saying, look at us. He wants some money from him. Expecting to get something from them. Well, he's going to get something. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but that which I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wow. So Peter didn't have any money. You know, this guy probably thought these religious bigwigs, you know, they're probably loaded. You know, that's what everybody seems to think about religious leaders. You'd be surprised at how little most of these people have. But here, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have. I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I think it was Thomas Aquinas who, in his day, he said, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none, because the church had been, you know, the European church got very, very rich and, you know, had all kinds of money. He said, but neither can it say, rise up and walk. So these guys have the power of God with them. And so, but they didn't have any money, they didn't have any cash. They were cash poor, but spirit rich. He said, walk. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Now, Luke is a physician, and Luke's intrigued by not only the healing, but the dynamics of the healing. He talks about the feet and the ankles and how they're strengthening, and then the guy begins to walk. He jumps to his feet and walks. So it's not just a miracle of the man being healed, but it's a miracle that he can walk. Because for you and me, it took us many years to learn how to walk. And so this guy's not only getting healed instantaneously, but he's walking instantaneously and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Sure, absolutely. You know, they knew who he was. You probably have people like this in your life or your day or your work or your routine where, you know, you see these people and, you know, this guy would have been recognized by the people who would frequent that area. And they knew that he'd been lame and he was always begging. And so now that they're seeing him praising God and walking, they're just absolutely amazed. Well, there's a big lesson right here. And the big lesson is that the guy was sitting there every day, right? So Peter and John, they were going to the temple frequently, which means that they passed this guy by many times without healing him. You know who else went past him and didn't heal him? Was Jesus himself. You know, we have three accounts of Jesus and his ministry with his disciples in Jerusalem three times. And Jesus is walking through the same area and Jesus passes him by. So, you know, one of the big lessons here is sometimes we feel like, you know, Jesus is just passing me by. You know, my miracle is never coming. You know, when's God going to come through for me? Well, who knows? Because the way that this chapter starts is one day. Well, maybe today's your day. Maybe today's your miracle. Maybe today's the breakthrough. Maybe today's the day that things are going to change. Maybe today's the day that, you know, whatever's going on, you know, that depression's going to leave. Who knows? One day. And so God is alive and God is working, and we don't understand his ways. But here, this one day, finally happens for the guy. Finally happens. Verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, is he holding for his balance, or is he holding because he's just so thrilled over these guys? All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Gathers a crowd. This is amazing. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you?" Why should this surprise you? These are the Israelites. These are the ones who were delivered out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, by miracles. They saw all of the things that went on with Pharaoh. They saw Pharaoh's armies destroyed as Pharaoh was pursuing them, trying to kill them. They wandered in a desert for 40 years, and God provided for them, took care of them, gave them food from heaven, gave them water from a rock, gave them miracles. You know, made it so, you know, their shoes never wore out. Just to, they're the miracle people. Why does this surprise them? Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us? Why do you stare at us as though by our power or godliness we made this man walk? I love this. So Peter's saying, it's not because of our godliness. It's not because we're so holy, because we're so righteous, because we read the Bible so much, because we pray so hard, because we do all of these things. It's not because we are holy men at all. It's God. God did this, not us. So often people want to make you think that they're really something. Peter's saying we're not anything. He said it's not our godliness. It's not, you know, because, you know, we're such good Bible students or take, you know, such good notes or know so much about the Bible or because we walked with Jesus. And it's not our power. We don't have the power to do this, but Jesus has the power to do this. So why does it surprise you? He said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." You see, this is our tradition. The miracles are ours. "You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate decided to let him go. Pilate thought he was innocent. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be released to you. You killed the author of life." Wow, what a strong language. "But God raised him from the dead." You see, it's the resurrection of Jesus that saves us. "We're witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and you know this guy." So this isn't some, like, you know, pulling it over people, the wool over somebody's eyes and, you know, saying a miracle happened when a miracle didn't happen. They know this guy. You know he has made him strong. "In Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him, he has completely healed him, as you can see now." You are witnessing the miracle. Wow. "Now, you've witnessed the miracles. I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had spoken of through all the prophets, saying his Messiah would suffer." They're talking about the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Psalms, you know, speaking of the coming Messiah who would suffer on the cross. "Now, repent." That word means to change your mind. It doesn't mean change your action. It means change your mind. Change the way you think about yourself. Change the way you think about God and turn to God. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." The Messiah is for you, even Jesus. Change your mind. Stop thinking you're so righteous. Stop thinking you can do it yourself. Stop thinking you know, your philosophy is going to do it. Just surrender. Change your mind. You're not good enough on your own. Just accept what Jesus has done for you. He who knew no sin became sin for you on the cross so that you might become the righteousness of God. Just trust Jesus. Verse 21, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. Well, that's the whole story of the scriptures. God's going to restore everything. The whole story of the scriptures is that God created people upright, people rebelled against God. He came and brought redemption through Jesus Christ, the reconciliation with God through Jesus, the cross. He died on the cross for your sins, took your sin. He was the perfect one. He took your judgment. He's risen from the dead, and he will restore all things in a future date. Everything will be restored. Heaven must receive him until the time comes to restore everything, as he promised long ago through the holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet just like me from your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. And anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all of the prophets have spoken and have foretold of these days. You're the heirs of the promises and the covenants God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. We're going all the way back. Genesis 12. God told Abraham that all the nations would be blessed through him. How? Jesus, the Messiah, came through his family tree. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you, the Jewish people, by turning each one of you from your wicked ways. Come to Jesus Christ. So Bible and Daily Lifers, amazing chapter. Today might be your miracle day. Hey, bless you. You are loved by God. Grace, grace, grace. Peace, peace, peace. You are loved by God. Blessings. Find us where you find us. Bible and Daily Life. We're there every day, Monday through Friday.